The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show with me, Brian Green.
And me, Peter Donegan. How are you, Brian?
I'm good, and another good week we've had of glorious, actually quite good weather this week.
It was slightly contrary as well, I think you'll agree. It's been, again, it's been the umbrella and the shorts and shades.
Till that rain on Wednesday hit us, but there you go.
Yes.
On today's show, we've got an interview with OutdoorTrek.ie, the camping experts down in Swords Village.
Yeah, well, it's a nice follow-on from last week. You know, we have to practice what we preach on this radio show, and we do, because, in fairness, we spoke quite wisely to Davy Phillip last week from Electric Picnic and about being green. I think the lads go that stage further and say, look, here's how you invest in the right tent, here's the equipment you should invest in, and if you want to take a little bit of a stage further than one weekend, here's how you do it.
And also coming up on today's show, another first for the Sod Show, more of that in a minute. But you can contact us by Twitter. How do you get us on Twitter?
Simply use the hashtag Sodshow, Brian.
And if you want to text us, it's 087-977-1032. But first, a question for Peter. Is it okay for us to take the show this week, just for part of the show, outdoors?
Yeah, it is, Brian. It is. But all I'm saying is, look, I'm in my shorts and my knees are going to get a little bit chilly, so we'll put the kettle on before we go out, and by the time we get back in, she'll be ready.
Being so young, you can have lots of firsts, and this is the Sod Show's first trip to the garden. Peter, welcome to the garden.
Thanks very much, Brian. It's great to be in another one.
You just spend too much time in gardens, and I don't.
Well, yeah, but we had, you know, it was funny, like, yesterday it was, God, what were we, Brightle, about 20 to 9. Somewhere.
Oh, that was amazing last night, yes.
It was absolutely stunning, and it was, I was looking at the watch going, like, why am I, what am I, hold on, I should be watching the news here shortly, like, or not.
Irish summertime, it's just like late March, early April, and you just get that change.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. So we're in the garden, and I have been itching, as you can probably tell, to get out into the garden, get an excuse to take the microphones out, and there's an airplane, Ryanair coming back in, and be out here, because I just don't come out here. This is nothing new to you, but here you are. And we are going to do plant and tool of the week for starters.
Well, I think the outside bits outside is probably a fair way of saying it, Brian, and I think rightly so. I think it's nice to, no offence, but it's nice to get out of the studio sometimes and break the cake.
Okay. So what are you thinking for plant of the week?
Plant of the week, I have to go this week with the old lilac tree. There's the one that we're looking at now is lovely purple.
Let's wander over to lilac tree.
Yeah, it's got a lovely purple flower on it. I mean, you know, most people I know have a lilac tree. It's kind of formerly been a bush, but it's just grown extremely tall. But there's something nice about them, and there's something brilliant about them. What you'll see, actually, funny enough, if you're coming up by East Wall, and a lot of buildings where they've, you know, become a little bit, you might say, dilapidated.
These things kind of grow out of walls and things.
Yeah, well, that's the confusion. That's what I was going to say. There's one that looks quite similar, which is the Buddleia. But the lilac is probably the prettier one, and the one that I would suggest is a little bit more, you know, my grandmother's kind of an era, but there's something just nice about them, really easy to grow. Flowers on them are so well worthwhile. But from a biodiversity buzzword in their point of view, there's something really great about bringing and attracting in birds and bees into gardens. And I, you know, there's a point where we also need to kind of go back a little bit on ourselves. I mean, this whole thing about the grow it yourself thing is one thing, but there's also a point where we need birds and bees. We can't have them entirely reliant on just apple trees and fruit trees. They need something else. And that's where lilac for me is probably top of the pile.
And there is this thing with nature and colour, because I saw something from a graphics designer. He said, don't put it in red. Red tells our subconscious as humans, danger. But to birds and bees, and they'll know their plants by their colours.
Well, by colour or by scent. So it's you know, there's more than one way of throwing a stone, to use the oddball cliche, but it's by colour, it's by scent, it's by smell, it's by the whole lot. But I mean, if you look at my cherry trees, my apple trees are all in flower, and once the buds on my apple trees open, they're starting as almost that kind of a purple, the lilac-y kind of a purple, and they're opening into something white, which the cherries are doing exactly the same, which my peach trees are doing the same, and it's all fairly white to more pink to white, leaning towards the white side of a flower. And that can be a little bit on the bland side from a garden point of view. But again, as I said to you, it comes back down to, if I want bees, birds, nature in my garden, and I don't want them entirely reliant on fruiting trees, which is of better benefit to me as the individual, I suppose you've got to think outside the box and say, well, hold on a sec, how do we give them something a little bit better?
How much work is involved in, you know, keeping one of these things going, these lilacs? Is it maintenance-free or...?
It's maintenance-free, but they're a little bit more vigorous, is what I would say. Or the older varieties are a little bit more vigorous. They grow a little bit taller, a little bit quicker. At the same token, there are newer varieties out there which don't grow as tall as, you know, so you can kind of say to yourself, look, I'd like a lilac tree that only grows to 6 foot tall, or I'd like one that grows to, but 6 foot tall is only my height, you know, it's actually not. You're looking at me smiling here.
Checking your height.
But it's, you know, I think we've come a long way from a plant's perspective to the fact that you can actually say, I'd like a lilac tree that only grows about 6-8 foot tall. Or you can go for the older varieties, which grow a lot taller, as we can see by the one behind us, probably 3 times our height at the moment.
Well, that's plant for the week. What about tool of the week? What are we tooling up with?
Tool of the week this week, Brian, is really, really, really simple. I had a garden this week that I was looking after. Serious problem with moss. Again, I know we've discussed moss before. Moss being twofold part. This is before we get planted week. This is the mild sidetrack, my rant, as I'm allowed to go on now and again. But moss comes for two reasons. Number one, water sitting on top of a surface where it's not being free drained through. Number two, water sitting on top of a surface and the wind isn't coming across and brushing or evaporating the water off the top of it. Tool of the week, therefore, for me has been the fork, the garden fork. There's two types. It sounds really, really simple. One should come up to about waist height, which breaks my back. And the other one is the old style.
Under the armpit height.
Under the armpit, lean on it kind of a style, depending on what type of gardener you are. But it's the lean on it kind of a gardener type, full height, good strong handle. And that's the one I like. It's got big, long tines, big, long spikes in it. That's the one I'd be kind of aiming for. And what I tend to do in the lawn, although I treat it with a moss killer, which will deal with the immediate problem, there's also a point where you got to deal with the underlying problem and hopefully try and improve drainage. So once the grass is cut, and this is probably an extra bit of advice thrown in here just for the crack, but once the grass is cut, I give it about a day or two, then it's out the fork. And you'll see them, for any of those people who are into golfing or pitch and putt, what you'll see is they drop the tractor spikes, go into the lawn, they spike it down on a golf course, then they'll infill it with sand, and then they'll brush in seed and then maybe fertilise across that. From a domestic point of view, obviously you won't be able to fit a tractor into every back garden you like, so the garden fork does that. Into those holes then, what I tend to brush is a little bit of compost or sand or whatever you have at the ready, whatever's easiest for you. That'll allow the roots that are already existing below the ground to develop into those holes, and then I scatter down some extra grass seed.
My engineering draftsperson question, at what centres do you spike down?
I would go down, personally me, the root zone of grass below ground would be about the top kind of quarter to half inch, so I would tend to go down a little bit deeper than that. Again,
it's, well, that's the depth. Well, what about how
far
spacing
apart? Depending on how bad the moss problem is, and that's you're 1 pound or 1,000 here. You could send me in 50 photographs of moss problems and lawns, but if you were to push me on it, I would be kind of saying, look, if you got about a quarter of an inch, driving in a fork into the ground, pushing it back and forward, swinging it side to side, making decent big holes, I would be inclined to go about every inch apart between one set of spikes and the next set of spikes.
At inch centres, much tighter than I thought.
Well, it can do no harm, Brian. It can do no harm, because the growing point or the point at which grass tries to burst from. Now, if you remember, you know, your dad or cutting hedges or when they put in a new hedge, the whole thing was that if you kept on cutting it across the top, it would eventually thicken up. Grass is the same thing, except for the growing point isn't at head height as a hedge might be. And this is explained very, very simply. It's actually down just above grass level, or just above, sorry, soil level. So if you keep cutting the grass, it'll eventually thicken up. But the problem is also below ground, or the reality is also below ground, where it must have a decent root structure and system in order for it to be a healthy plant above ground level. So deal with the moss problem, number one, do treat it, but number two, do deal with the underlying problem, which is allow the plant to be a decent sturdy plant. And that's why Tool of the Week is the garden fork.
Let's head back to the warmth of the studio and a nice mug of tea.
I'd love a cup of coffee, actually, Brian. Be really appreciated.
Yours is coffee, mine is tea.
Point 2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show, Creedence Clearwater Revival. Have you ever seen the rain?
Well, we had a point to hold on. We had a great cracking day on Sunday just gone. I think there was a bit where I was kind of wondering, would we actually see it? Then came along Wednesday and we did, of course, see it. I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning with it beating off the roof. And it was kind of nice to see my seeds standing to attention based on that.
Fans of Creedence here on The Sod Show, you might have noticed that our intro, Heard It Through the Grapevine, is also some Creedence Clearwater.
An oldie but a goldie, a bit like our plant of the week.
So, that was our excapade out to the garden.
Yeah.
What did you think of the garden, Peter?
Yeah, I liked it, Brian. Always a pleasure for me to be outside. I mean, the weather wouldn't faze me at all whatsoever. Like I said, I think when we first started the Sod Show, and it was January in around about that time. Was it January, April, January, March, February?
March.
March, you know. I think. Well, the weather was a little bit as it was, let's say, on Wednesday, you know, where the rain kind of came down. It was a little bit more like that. And I think what we were saying around the time was, look, you got a window for doing things in the garden, and it's a... You know, gardening is very, very much thinking months, if not seasons, in advance of, I would like bulbs in my garden for next year. So you plant the daffodils now, you decide now, you plant them come towards the end of the season.
And in that same breath, yeah, it was good to get out and see what was out there.
And so we were heading into the planting season back then. Are we still pretty much in it? You can still be planting away?
Yeah, well, I noticed on the back roads of Ballybohol where I live, I mean, some people are still shifting trees. But, you know, the more they come into leaf, the less amount of time you have. And if you're driving down any of the delightful, most colourful motorways that we have, you'll see they've gone from bare stem almost into full leaf or heading that direction. So that's your window. Once they come into full leaf, for me, it's windows closed on that one.
If you were inspired by our interview last week with the Electric Picnic and you are hankering for the great outdoors, we have an interview for you now with a camping expert.
I'm in the Outdoor Trek shop in Swords. I'm talking to Damien. Came up, Damien, talking a couple of weeks ago to Davey Phillip from Global Green Electric Picnic. The myth has been dispelled about the tent that's left behind at Electric Picnic. From my own experience, I do realise from borrowing my good friend Anthony McGuinness's tent, a €20 different coloured Wendy house, as I described it, is not really a smart investment. If I am intending to head to Electric Picnic, again, £1 or £1,000, it's a little bit how much does a car cost, mm-hmm. but how much and what do you recommend people should buy? Give me a couple of brands in here as well, if you wish.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same conversation we have with an awful lot of people heading off to Electric Picnic, Oxygen, that type of thing. They're looking to buy the cheapest tent they can buy. They're just wasting their money, basically. I mean, they're buying predominantly a single skin tent, which will not keep the rain out in any way, shape or form.
Why won't a single skin tent keep the rain out?
Single skin, by its very nature, won't have tape seams. It'll just be one single piece of fabric, usually a very, very light nylon piece of fabric, which is fine if you're going to Spain to a festival and the sun's going to shine 24 hours a day. Mm. We don't have that luxury here. We have wet, damp conditions. So you need a double skin tent, something that has a fairly high hydrostatic head rating. Hydrostatic head is just the barometer by which they measure how waterproof your tent is going to be. So you'll be looking for something double skin, tape seams, what they call a bathtub ground sheet, which just literally means that the hard piece of PVC at the base of your tent will come up a little bit higher than just be on the ground, so about 6 inches generally speaking. What that does is it protects you from the grass on the outside. Mm. The single skin is, by the very nature, not a waterproof. It's not going to be breathable, and it's not going to keep you dry.
Assuming that I'm coming in and I've got my few bob in my pocket, mm-hmm. I've got €100, I want to buy enough to get me down to Electric Picnic. Is €100 enough to get me there and keep me protected, safe, warm, dry, yeah. etc. at night time?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, how should I spend my €100?
Well, we would always suggest that you look at, again, bearing in mind that I'm assuming it's a two-person tent you'd be looking for. You know, a two-person tent spends somewhere between €40 to €60. Your sleeping bag, if you don't have one, is going to be, again, somewhere between €20 to €30, and that'll get you a good mummy sleeping bag, which will keep you warm.
What's a mummy sleeping bag?
Mummy would be, basically, would have a hood and would taper in towards the end of your legs. And what that does is it traps the heat in better and retains it in there. If you are sleeping in the old-fashioned envelope shape, if you roll, you're rolling onto a wet patch of the wet patch is the wrong word, but a cold patch of the sleeping bag, which obviously is going to cool you down a bit. Generally, we would then say, you know, with some of the festivals, it's slightly different. Are you allowed to cook on site? Are you not allowed to cook on site? If you can cook on site, bring a little stove, €20, you know, a mug, a plate, €5 for the two of them. Mm. You can quite easily get the stuff that's going to be what you will need. The other thing that's we suggest people bring with them would be some sort of either a foam mattress or an air mattress. Mm. Again, they pack fairly small. You can stick them onto the side of your rucksack. You have a little bit more comfort underneath you. As opposed to sleeping on a sharp rock, you might be sleeping on a piece of foam.
Personally, I suppose last year I hit Electric Picnic. I've done it the last 3 years. But when I hit it year one, I invested in a Coleman Canyon tent. Yeah. It cost me about €250. It's got two bedrooms. It's in tent terms, it's a little bit luxurious, one might call it, but it was a very wise investment as far as I was concerned. If somebody is looking at saying, well, look, maybe we'll do the Electric mm-hmm. Picnic gig, we might actually go camping as a family yep. or as cluster of friends yep. the following year, what are you kind of talking? What brands? What do you look out for?
Yeah, I mean, that's you've kind of hit the nail on the head. Your Coleman tent, you'll have that in 15 years' time. Mm. Once it's maintained and looked after, and by maintained, it's aired and it's cleaned after you use it. That €20 tent is God knows where. Skip, yeah. You know, if a family is talking about getting into it again, they just need to decide on the dimensions of their tent and stuff. What I mean by that is whether they want a single dome that all four would sleep in one area, mm. or whether they want two separate sleeping areas, whether they want two separate sleeping areas with a bit of a living area. Mm. You know, you'd be talking, say, maybe €90 up to €200 for a tent, depending on how big they want it to be, whether they want to stand, that type of stuff. Yeah. But this is a tent they'll have forever, once it's looked after. You know, there's no reason why your tent, once it's maintained, won't last you for years and years and years of camping.
Can I ask you very quickly, the top five sellers for camping gear in this store?
Coming near Oxygen Time, sleeping bags would be the most important thing we sell. Small rucksacks for them carrying their gear to and from. Obviously the tents themselves. Tent pegs, for those who are clever enough to remember to bring spare pegs. And then what we're always asked for would be little stools.
Oh, surprising.
Yeah, a little stool for sitting beside your tent, suffering with the hangover.
Top five things you could recommend that I should bring with me the next time I head to Electric Picnic, bearing in mind I could have all four seasons in the one day.
Yeah, well, your good tent, a waterproof tent. Obviously, your sleeping bag, which I think you've already mentioned, you have a very good sleeping bag. A waterproof coat, a proper waterproof coat. Again, trying to stay away from something that's bought for €2 a poncho. That's not going to keep you dry. Bring a good coat, look after it, you'll be fine. A pair of good waterproof boots.
As versus waterproof wellies.
The problem with a wellie is that it's not going to give you any insulation. It's not going to be in any way warm because it's rubber. Mm. It's just a single piece of rubber. So yes, it'll stop anything going out, but it's not going to give you any warmth inside in your foot. Yeah. A waterproof boot has a membrane. What a membrane will do is it'll stop anything going in, but it'll allow vapour out. So it'll trap a bit of heat in your foot.
Okay. From a cooking perspective, what are the top five things you could recommend there?
Again, depending on where you're going, if you're talking about going to a festival, a little small single stove, you screw it onto the top of a gas canister, you buy yourself a little either jerry can or frying pan, and that's your breakfast setup. You know, your few sausages, your bit of rashers. You can boil a kettle in maybe 10 minutes. We have a great invention called a Kelly's Kettle, which is Irish made, Irish produced. It'd be very popular with fishermen. They would have used it an awful lot. It's starting to make it's made more into camping as well. And what that is it'll boil you a pot or a pint of water in about 2.5 minutes using any kind of old debris you can get your hands on, twigs, all that type of stuff, old bits of newspaper, but it burns very, very quickly. Also called a hurricane kettle. People will probably be aware of it as that as well.
God. And how much would one of them, said somebody back here?
They start at €39.
That's not bad.
One. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I bought, last time I was in here, I bought the Stanley flask.
Yeah.
It's from a guy who's involved in the great outdoors landscaping side of things. It is probably the greatest, most durable thing because I have sat in it, put lawnmowers on it, drove over it just about.
Yeah,
still survives.
The Stanley flask, I mean, they offer a 15-year warranty. So that always, to me, is an indication of how happy they are with their products.
Yeah.
We sell an awful lot of Stanley flasks for the very reason that they work. Mm-hmm. Again, it's the false economy syndrome. You can buy a flask for €5.
Yeah.
It's not going to do the same job as the flask that you probably paid €30 or €40 for. Yeah. You know, the flask you paid for €30 or €40 has a 15-year guarantee for a reason. It's going to do the job it says it's going to do.
If people want to get in touch with Outdoor Trek, how do they go about it?
Well, they can give us a call here directly if they like on 01-807-5757. They can look us up on www.outdoortrek.ie or they can search for us on Facebook and we will be only too happy to help them out.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Mind yourself. Thank you. Ooh, I made it to the great back, and I'm
just about to lose my mind. Honey, honey, yeah. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show. Do you know what? I haven't been camping in years.
You should go, Brian.
The last time I went camping, I think the youngest was just born, so I was with the eldest two, and it was in County Cavan, Coot Hill.
Wowee. In a, me darn years.
In a borrowed tent.
Yeah, well, last time I was camping was down in Loch Key Forest Park. Got out to see Trinity Island. And I got out to see Castle Island, I think is the other one out there. I don't know, I have them up there in the blog, but that is phenomenal. And that does bring around the full circle of going to EP and taking out the greeny bits, to getting to the camping, to continuing the camping, to bringing the family camping, to ending up in a forest, which brings it back to trees, which brings it back to the great outdoors, which brings it back to, I'd love one of them in my garden. Bam. And that's why it's featuring on what some may call a gardening show.
It's a good, cheap way to get close to nature as well.
That's what it's all about, Brian. It's what it's all about. I couldn't do a week in a hotel with a kid. I don't know. Maybe some, I mean, if you've got your own thoughts, then, you know, feel free to get in touch with us. As I said, Brian's calling you 087-977-1032. Send us a text and let us know what you think. But I can't do, personally, me, each their own horses for courses, like we said about lilac trees in the garden. But I cannot do a hotel.
Yeah, your alarm clock is the dawn chorus. You pull the zip and there is the day ahead of you.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think hotels for me remind me of work. Hotels for others remind them of relaxation. But for me, I'm outside and I know I can't do the golf thing like I said earlier on, but I just love camping. I love waking up. Now, again, I have to, got to bear this in mind, Brian, but I need to use the sign that the lads up from Outdoor Trek have over their shop, which is there's no such thing as bad weather, only the wrong clothing. And I think once you have the right gear, believe me, there's nothing better than the rain beating off your tent and you know you're cosy and warm inside. With the right gear, I say, with the right gear.
What a wonderful quote to close on. And remember, your own skin, it's waterproof.
It doesn't mean you.
This has been Sideshow number 7.
Best luck, folks. Have a great weekend. The great outdoors. Do let us know how you get on.
Don't forget to check us out on the podcast, and that's available from...
Oh, you can get that on iTunes. Just search for the word Sideshow, and we will also be live on the blog. That's blog.donaghanlandscaping.com, and just search for Sideshow there. Couple of things as well, Brian, almost forgot. Nice few gigs on the horizon. The first one to mention is the Dublin City Historic Parks Lunchtime Lectures. All the details are up on the blog, but they're all taking place in the Council Chambers at City Hall on Dame Street, Dublin 2. They start at 10 past 1 and end at 10 minutes to 2.
And they're free?
They are entirely free. Also coming up, I have to say, there is the Old Bridge Country Fair at...
At the Battle of the Boyne site.
That's Bruna Bonnia, yeah. That's taking place on, what date have you got there?
April 30th.
April 30th. Looking forward to that. I believe there's hot air balloons and all sorts of shenanigans and garden talks going on too.
And it's a Saturday of the bank holiday weekend.
And it is indeed. And of course, next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, I have a series of garden talks with Fingal Libraries taking place. Once again, they are free as well. Free to attend, free to do. And there you go. Details all up on the blog.
That's it for another show. Take care.
Enjoy your gardening. Bye.